You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Hebrews 4:9. There remains therefore a rest to the people of God, for he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is alive and energizing and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing through even to the dividing of the soul, sunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner, a critic, the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any created thing that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of him who we have to do. Seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we are not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace and find grace to help in the time of need. And now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this his holy word, and this grace for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we ask it. Amen. As much as we can now, we want to say thank you for this privilege afresh, and may this song we just sang concerning your faithfulness come up before you as a sweet savor this morning. As you enable us to worship in spirit and truth, may the Holy Spirit now do that office work as he cleanses us and sets us apart to your purpose, as he rebukes the evil one, as your great Son is honored, that the word may go forth in the might and power of the Holy Spirit as he guides us into all truth. Thank you, Father God, for attending these things, because we ask these graces in the name and for the sake of Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, you probably have already guessed that it's a little study in psychiatry. The world has its own, you know. Freud come up with that some 100 and some odd years ago. The Bible has it too, you know, and it's the real thing. Every great truth, there is a counterfeit. And we have the real article. In your chart, you'll notice, as you follow along, we put it on the big board here just to keep it fresh in your mind. And you'll see how that man has reversed the order of things. And that's why people have to go lay on a couch and tell their troubles to somebody. And it's not necessary at all, because God's the best listener in the world. And it's we're invited to come in boldly in our lesson, you remember, this morning. Because we have a high priest who is not unacquainted with our weaknesses. In fact, there's not a single thing that's ever touched our life has not passed through his hands. And so he understands even better than you do what your problem is. And 'tis written that if we confess our sins, he's just and faithful to cleanse us from every sin. And to encourage you, and I've said this before, but just for your refreshment of mind, the verbs here are all continuous action verbs. The efficacy of the blood of Christ continually does its work in your life, even though you don't confess it. The confession is for your benefit. That's your couch, so that you can have peace of mind and not be bothered by the guilt of the old nature. You see, the problem is that man has reversed the order. If you look at the things of this life, all the emphasis upon the body and the soul, very little on the spirit. And man was made a living spirit because he was breathed upon by the Spirit of God. Therefore, his soul became a living thing too in order to express his personality. You'll notice in the chart, we've laid it out there for you, pretty simple. The senses of the spirit are your ability to worship. No other creature can do that. Dogs don't worship. Cattle don't worship. Man worships his God. Man can pray. No other animal can do that. Man can believe. He can have faith. Therefore, he has hope. And last but not least, God's great love to those who are of the Spirit has been shed abroad in our hearts. This is all of the Spirit. You notice up over the chart there, the phrase, God must enlighten the mind in order that the Spirit, that's the Spirit of man, can exercise the will for his own spirit, soul, and body. Because the Spirit of man is the candle holder of the Lord. Proverbs 20:27. If you read it, it says the Spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. That's what the Scripture says. But the Hebrew word there says candle holder. You see that Spirit, light of that Spirit went out with the fall of Adam. It has to be lighted by the Holy Spirit. As John 6 says, all that hear and learn will come to me. That's simply saying this, as I speak to you this morning, you all hear what I say. It does not necessarily follow that you'll learn. You'll only learn as you're enlightened by the Holy Spirit. He has come to guide us into all truth. It's interesting that so often we note on some of the calls on the radio program, people call in and tell about some experience. We had a lady yesterday call. She's on welfare, and she has a little room. She was looking for a new place to live. She was walking down the street, and she thought God spoke to her and says, this is it. It's a $165,000 house. She says, I wonder if that's really mine. I said, well, I'm not going into all the details about it, but you see, God never works apart from the Word of God. And the Word of God is a completed revelation. So when people have extra revelations from God, you begin to suspect something is afoul. But 'tis written, we're to try the spirits from whence they are. And we cannot try them apart from the Word of God. There's all sorts of experiences that people have. But you know, you can't trust your experiences because they're based upon your own personal feelings. And your feelings change like the weather. And that changes pretty often around Oklahoma. So you can't trust those things. You have to rely upon what thus saith the Lord. So it's one thing to hear. It's another thing to learn. And you can only learn that which God enlightens you. Because the wisdom of this world, it is written, is foolishness for God. This is why, if you listen to some of these programs on television, Donahue is the prime example, I guess, of all. I hate to pick on him constantly, but it's the best one to pick on. They never reach a conclusion. They can't, because, you see, all authority must be under authority. And all you ever hear is personal opinions. And that's worth a plug nickel, or whatever that's worth. You see, you have to have authority for what you believe. And the Word of God is the authority. It, in fact, is the only authority.
We kind of forget this, that when Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." The emphasis there upon those words as to source. He's the source of life. He's the source of truth. He's the source of the way. Not a way, but the way. Anything else is false. Now, there are many counterfeits. And the fact that people will go and pay $100 an hour to lay down on a couch and tell some man his troubles shows us that there is problems in this world. But God has the answer for you in the only authority that really counts. But we must begin where God begins, and that's with the Spirit. Now, I've said all that to say this. You can be your own psychiatrist. Just begin to think, and God give you a mind, and it's through the mind that the Spirit of God energizes. That's your computer, so to speak. And the computer only records what's fed into it. Now think, in a 24-hour period of time, at your computer, your mind, what's fed into it. This is why there's such a great emphasis upon the body today. Everybody wants to be healthy. Boy, I'd like to be right now. Particularly if you had a bout. I've had 2 weeks, a real bout. I'm not going to talk about my health, but that's all what old people all talk about. God forbid that I fall into that category. But anyway, that's what people think about, is their body, you know. It shows us where our treasures are. Where a man's treasure is, there's where his heart is. And that's the world consciousness about us. The body has to do, as you notice, with five senses. I think you're cognizant of this fact. It has to do with seeing, has to do with hearing, has to do with touching, tasting, and smelling. That's your five bodily senses. And that's your contact with the world. That's why you're world conscious, because you see things, you hear things, you smell things, you taste things, you feel things. You see, when you walk into a room and you have an unpleasant smell, like somebody's been smoking, if you're bothered by that, you'll automatically react to it. If you walk into a place and they got some barbecue cooking and you smell it, the juices of your stomach will begin to growl for something to eat, you know. It all works on that body. It's a world consciousness. That's what your body is. And because we're so taken up with the world, you begin to see why there's such an emphasis upon the body. And then, secondly, the soul. That's your mind. That's your memory.
That's your imagination. That's your emotion, or your affection or desire, if you will. And desire is probably the greatest force on earth. You think about that. That comes from yourself, your self-consciousness. You ever notice in your life, when you talk, who you refer to all the time? I. Well, I know better than that, you see. Or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that thing. See? On the other hand, you see how much the spirit is neglected. Because we cannot pray, actually, a real prayer apart from the spirit. We cannot worship apart from the spirit. We can have no real faith unless the spirit enlightens. You can have no real hope ahead of us unless the Spirit puts His seal upon it. And we hear a lot about love today, but it isn't, because it's not of the Spirit. It's purely desires of the soul and the body. That's why in this world of smart people, they refer to these things as the working of the chemistry of the blood, you know. People talk about falling in love, you know. I won't be so vulgar to say what they really fall into, but that's what, in most cases, that's what it is. Love is something, you see, that has to be energized in the Spirit of God. It takes time. And God is in no hurry. You have to grow with love. It's a lifetime to work at it. And real love never fails. It can't fail. And what people call today love fails constantly, and the papers are full of it. You see? Now, this is not to discourage you, but to allow you to see yourself as you really are. And when you really see yourself as you really are, you won't like what you see in the light of truth, because you still want to please self, because you still are concerned about every little old thing goes wrong with your body. How much concern is there of the spirit? Think about these things. They're realistic. And they're things that we must give an account to God if we're His child. Once we become a child of God, we're assigned a stewardship. For it is written, we are His workmanship, created, not revamped or made over, but a new creation. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, with a view towards good works which He hath before marked off for us to walk in. And you cannot walk in those ways unless it's of the Spirit. It cannot be of the soul or the body. You see? And so the spirit is the essential thing of man. And you can see we reverse the complete order of things. Now, enlightenment is not to discourage you, but to encourage you. Hence, we have it as written. Notice. We have not a high priest who's passed through the, not incident, not into the heavens, but through the heavens. Thank God for that. And we've been what? Raised and seated together whereabouts? Far above the heavens. He's one who's passed through the heavens, the Son of God. And it is not one who is just dealing a theory, but one who actually came down here and for 3.5 years experienced every problem that ever you'll ever face. Hence it is written, there's no testing, temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tested above that you're able, but will in the testing make the way of escape. The problem of it is, you see, we get so concerned about our soul and about our body, we forget where the real problem lies. It must be of the spirit, otherwise all is vanity and what? Vexation of spirit, and there's what? No profit under the sun. The wisest man that ever God ever created in the sense of human wisdom was a man named Solomon. And God caused that man to write a book called Ecclesiastes so that man would know that as long as his vision was kept under the sun, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. You must rise above that, and that can only be in the spirit. Man must first hear, but then he must learn. No man can come to God unless God enlightens him. This is what Jesus dealt with in the 3rd chapter of John, when Nicodemus came to him by night. If you read the preceding verses that introduce that chapter, in chapter 2, you'll see these words closing out the 2nd chapter. Jesus said he needed not that any man testify of man, for he knew what was in man. But there was a man named Nicodemus, which God made an exception to because he saw that man came at night when he wouldn't be bothered, and he came to seek for truth. And the first thing Jesus, before he even asked a question, the man introduced himself and said, look, we know that you're a teacher sent from God. But no man can do these things except God be with him. Instead of Jesus addressing that question, he turned to him. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be generated from above, born again, as we call it, he cannot even see. And that means with perception. The government of God. God has to do his work first. This is why it's so important that when we hear, we learn. You do not find God in the things that people think they want to look for in God. Poor old Elijah, the mighty prophet, we've illustrated this before, had to learn that lesson too. We have to. When he thought all deserted God and he was left alone, he said, I'm the only man on earth that's a true believer. God said, oh, come now. That's not true at all. I can name you 7,000 men who've never even bowed the knee to Baal. And then God gave a great display of thunders and lightnings, and the heavens were lighted up. And Elijah was looking for God in all that great mass of power. But he found out God wasn't there. And then a great earthquake came, shook the mountains, and they fell all around him. God wasn't there. Then it became calm. It said a small, still voice spoke inwardly. Not audibly, inwardly. And that was God speaking to him. You see, that's of the Spirit, beloved. And we have the Word. God is not going to speak, beloved. He has spoken. And the Spirit of God has come to guide us into truth. But it has to be of the Spirit. He is the one that's to guide us in the truth. He's the one who's enlightening us. Until a man has been enlightened of the Spirit of God, there's no way he can ever find himself in the dark, because his spirit is just a candle holder. It has no light. Somebody has to light that candle. You see? That means in any 24-hour period of your time, keeping in mind the underlying factor of why you're here. I threw this question out down at the penitentiary about 3 weeks ago. I got some strange answers why they thought they were there. Not necessarily in the penitentiary, but just why they were on the planet here. Somebody asked you why you thought you were here. What would be your answer? Let's just take a couple at random. What would you think? Huh? What do you think? Well, let's take one more. What do you think? Huh? Well, there's only one place in the Bible that really comes right out and tells you. Now, you want to quote it for me? That's his purpose, all right. But the reason that you're here, first off, is for his good pleasure. You find out the last verse of Revelation chapter 4, for his good pleasure, not for yours. That's why Paul, writing in the Philippians, tells us to work out our own salvation, for it's God who works in you what? For his what? For his pleasure. Well, I don't know how he gets some pleasure working in some of you, but I guess he does. He said so. I believe it. That's the only reason. You see? Beautiful when you begin to see these things. But God has not said these things to cause to be discouraged, but to be encouraged. You see, one of the things you need to do is to be honest with yourself first. And recognize what a small portion of your life is truly energized of the Spirit of God. And what a great portion of your life is energized towards self, the body, and those things that we're involved in 24 hours a day. Is it any wonder that we do get sick? As Job says, the very thing I feared has overtaken me. Because we've sown the wild oats, and we reap the whirlwind. When you sow the wind, you reap the whirlwind. Those are natural laws, beloved. They work. And I know that when you feel down the dumps, and you think, well, I'm trying to do everything I can the right way, everything goes against me. You say, why, Lord, why? And if you have a good listening ear, it comes back loud and clear. It must be of the Spirit. It cannot be of self. It cannot be of the body. It must be of the Spirit. See the tragedy of this old world today. The only spirit it has is the spirit of man. And the fire and the light is gone. And has been gone since Adam's day. unless man intervenes. God has to intervene. That's why it's so important that we hear, not what we see or smell or think, but what we hear from God. And the world is crowding us with everything in the world. And what's put into that computer is the way you begin to think. As a man thinketh, so he is. See, those are plain, simple statements. There's no reason why anybody should be deceived. If you have an ailment and you know how to, you know what will take care of it, what do? You do the thing that will take care of the ailment. Man's problem is spiritual. What do men do? They do everything but that. You see? Don't ever ask God why. Just open up and turn to Hebrews 12 just a minute. Verse 11. The word chastening, as I mentioned before, child training. No child training is joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are what? Exercised thereby. We not only need to hear, but we need to learn. And that's every day. Seems like we never grow up, do we? We're all still children. And that's the way it addresses us sometimes. Little children, little born again ones. See? And yet there's nothing to fear, because the efficacy of the blood of Christ keeps on what? Cleansing. Now I think you can begin to understand when it says, set your affection on things above, where Christ seated on the right hand of the Father. Why? Because you've died, and your life is hidden with God in Christ Jesus. But you need to come to that source constantly for the energy that you need for this 24 hours. It won't mean that he'll rob you of food, the strength of the body. It won't mean that he'll rob you of your personality. In fact, he'll make your personality live like it's never lived before. People will note that for this reason. They'll become cognizant of the fact that you've been with Jesus, who's what? The source of life, real life. How many of you ever read the Screwtape letters? You remember one of the letters told about a young man that God was dealing with. He went into a library, settled down, and began to read. And all of a sudden, it came across his mind, something he was reading, that if man was to be of any profit, it must be of the Spirit. And so automatically the thought crossed his mind, well, he said, now that's real life. What I've been messed with is nothing at all. The minute that thought entered his mind, he had a pain of hunger. And he thought, well, I better go eat before I can sit down and think this over, you know. Who do you think put that thought of physical hunger in his mind? To get his mind off of what? The real thing. This is why we need to be spiritually alert at every situation. Because he, like a roaring lion, is out to do what? Devour us. That's right.
You see? And it's not anything that's particularly unique with you. It's with all of us. That's why we need to understand that the Holy Spirit has come to take Christ and make him alive in our life. That's what our scripture says. The Word of God is quick. It's living. See? It's alive. And it's discerning in our life. It separates the joints and the marrow, the soul and the spirit. It identifies each one so that you can know. And then we have God praying for us to that end. Paul, in his epistle to the Thessalonian church, the 5th chapter. I think you're familiar with these verses, but if you're not, I'll just quote it for you. Paul says, I pray for your whole spirit, your whole soul, and your whole body. Notice he did not pray for your whole body and your whole soul and your whole spirit, but he prays for your spirit, soul, and body. Begin at the source. What do we say to all this? We really haven't said anything that you're not cognizant of in a vague way, but to call your attention to the 24-hour period that you're going to be facing, we're going to walk out of here at 12 o'clock, and think for the next 24 hours what your life really is involved in. And keeping in mind that you were created for his what? Good pleasure. Not for your pleasure, but for his. You say, that's awful selfish. I don't think it is at all. I think a mother can appreciate this more than a husband can or a man. The little child is with the wife more often than she is with the husband. I think that's the reason for that. But the child does not realize that the mother is enjoying what she's doing, if she's a good mother, because she is building what? Character. The child doesn't think so. He thinks he's getting robbed. No chastening, no child training is pleasurable. It's grievous. But it's for our being exercised. Those that hear, and you've all heard, how much have you learned? That's the point. The next 24 hours will tell you. Think about that. Tomorrow about this time, take a piece of paper at the end of that 24-hour period. Think how much of your life has been generated, energized, controlled of the Spirit. How much of it has been generated, energized, controlled of the soul? How much of it has been generated, energized of the body? Think about that. That's getting down to the very nitty-gritty. This is why maturity is so necessary amongst God's people. As long as you remain in the baby stage, that's how long it'll be, the question will always come up in your mind, why? Why me, Lord? Why? Instead of saying, Lord, open my eyes that I can learn from what had happened or what didn't happen. Sometimes it doesn't think something has happened. Sometimes it's something that didn't happen. You wanted something to happen and it didn't. You made the best laid plans in the world. You knew it was surefire. What happened? Kicked right back in your face. You see? Like the lady that on welfare, she thought, this is it, this house, $165,000. his own welfare, see. Well, you see, if she looked at the word, she realized that that 165,000 was her desire. She may be having a rough time. I feel sorry for that lady, but the fact of the matter is, you see, she's got her eye on the wrong thing. And most of us have. That's where our problem is. Begin to think. And, you know, we don't realize that we have the mind of Christ. Did you know that? 1 Corinthians. Turn, buddy, turn there real quick. The last verse of chapter 2. We have what? The mind. You believe that? Think about that. How much of it do we really exercise? That's just not words, beloved. That's real. You can begin to see then, if you do that. See, the Word of God, we're reading of our text. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing asunder the soul and the spirit. Is discerner. That word discerner is a critic. So don't be disturbed by the fact you've been criticized. It's for your benefit. The same as a mother's criticism of her own child is for what? The child's benefit. It isn't to rob the child. God loves you. That's the main thing about it. And it never fails. Remember this. You're kicking and screaming and hollering, why? It isn't going to change the course of anything. God's going to have his way. Now, in the lesson we had from Hebrews, it was written to Hebrew people who in the wilderness had failed to go in and take their possessions. Hence they had to wander for 40 years through the wilderness. And this is written to the Hebrew people at that time because God was ready to change courses. A new administration was about to come in. Let us go on to completion. The thing God wants, you see. They were under the lash. Persecution was horrible to them. Has been for 2,000 years. They're still wandering in the wilderness today. What a picture it is of our own life. We're wandering around in the wilderness of this world system. The world, the flesh, and what? And the devil. So you see, after all, you don't have to go to Freud, which is a counterfeit to begin with. We got the real article. Think about this. Father, we thank you for the word, for your faithfulness, long suffering toward us, your grace, and the promise that one day we'll be brought to the fullness of the stature of your great Son, even Christ Jesus. We can't imagine that in our narrow thinking, but we believe it because you said it. Help us to go out of here more determined than ever to be obedient, so that this next 24 hours, as we look back and view what took place, we can readily see that there is an improvement in the spiritual man as opposed to what it was prior to this lesson. Undertake for us, Jesus, Father God, and thank you for attending this, because we ask these graces, and this for Christ Jesus' sake, in his name we ask it. Amen.
Jesus, my Lord. You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.